everyone. This is Philip. Phil's still got some issues going on. He's not going to be with us tonight. But that's something I wanted to talk about. And it deals with confidence and egos. Some people misinterpret my confidence as a big ego. Some people misinterpret my ego as a big confidence. But I'm just a little guy who's tired of getting shit on. And someone pointed that out to me this week, and is a real good friend, someone that I care about, and kind of like we haven't talked really since that was said to me. Kind of upset me. Then I've had a couple of days to think about it, and she's right. So I have to do a little house cleaning, mind check, and make sure that I don't overstep my bounds or do anything I shouldn't do. And if you're going to tell somebody something and you're not sure if it's going to hurt them, sometimes you don't want to tell them. But if you lie, and we all know as in the biker world, if you lie, it's kind of a bad thing. Kind of gets you heat and shit you don't need. And all you can really do is say you're sorry or apologize. Sometimes that works. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes they don't want to talk to you again. But you just have to think things out first before you open your mouth. It tells people how smart you are. But I'm hoping I can work this out and get everything straight and back the way it was. Because I really appreciate this friendship. It's shown me a lot of things in the last couple of months. And kind of made me do a lot of thinking which way I wanted to go with some certain things that are going on in my life. But enough of that. I apologize. I'm sorry. I hope it's accepted. And give me a call. You have the number. What I'm going to do now is I think this is Paul. Paul, is that you?
Yes, it is.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing very well. How are you doing?
You know, you just heard me. I kind of put my nuts in the ringer the other day, and if I'd have just said what was going on, I wouldn't have had to do that. But I didn't. I stepped on my dick. And,
well, sometimes us guys have a tendency to do that. That's why we get dicks sometimes.
I know.
You know, but
I know.
You know, like anything else, most people do what they think is the right thing, and you know, sometimes you're right, sometimes you're wrong. I mean, you learn from your mistakes; you don't learn from your victories.
No, and I had a little triangle going where I had things going in a certain direction, and it just didn't pan out, and I let somebody down, and I didn't mean to. And if I'd have just told, if I'd have just said what was going on, I probably could have avoided this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, you know, the sun comes up every day, you know, and it's we all do the best we can every day. I think we all do things for the reasons that we think are right at the time, and sometimes we find out that they're not. And you know, you man up to it, you swallow, you admit your mistake, you take your punishment, and you move forward, and hopefully in the direction that you want to be with people, you know.
Yeah, when I learned a real good lesson in humility this week. I really did.
There's nothing wrong with that. Every now and then, we all need to know that, you know? I mean,
Absolutely. I used to say,
you know, like when, you know, it's like not everybody can be in the parade. There's got to be people on the sidelines cheering.
That's it.
Sometimes you're on the sidelines and sometimes you're in the parade, you know?
That's it.
Yeah. So what's happening out there in California?
Well, you know, there's kind of a lot of things going on, and people are saying things, and you know, things got overloaded, and people were, you know, people are shooting at each other when they should shoot at the enemy, you know.
Yeah, and, absolutely, and I got to tell you, from 3,000 miles away, and just looking on the emails, and I don't know how, you know, the California House and Assembly run, but I got to tell you something. I'm, you know, from sitting on the sidelines back here. You know, somewhat dealing with the issues here, too.
Right.
But to hear that there was over 600 bikers at the State House for that committee hearing, I mean, that's something to be proud of. And I think every club, every group, every organization, every association, every independent rider that was there or that made the phone calls, you know, everybody should be proud of them. And everybody should step up if they weren't there and they couldn't be there or if they haven't made the phone calls, and do it now and start a fucking tidal wave of resistance to this this bill, because it's not over.
Right. And you know, there was some other cross traffic today, which I'm sure you saw from Wisconsin. And
mm-hmm.
You know, he was absolutely right. You know, it's like I said just a second ago, we got to shoot at the enemy, not at each other. You know, if we put this much effort into shooting at each other, fuck, man, this thing would have never happened.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is that you never know what tactic is going to work.
No.
Everybody has their own, you know, personality, their own method of doing things. And, you know, I don't think there's wrong ways. I think that there's several different right ways to get something done. And when you achieve your desired results, you never know which one it was, especially if people are going in their own directions. I mean, there's the no compromise. You know, we're not going to take this. We're not going to give anything up. You know, there's some philosophy of, you know, give a little to get a little, or give a little to get a lot, or give a lot to get a little.
But just to say that you went neutral and you know, we're all supposed to be a compromise. I mean, you know, no compromise. That didn't sit right with me, because I saw some other stuff today where people just tore up their cards, said fuck
yeah,
a bait.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, everybody's got to do what they feel is right, you know. And if people aren't doing anything, that's the wrong thing.
That's
you know?
True.
I'd rather have people doing things and sometimes fall on their face and get back up, just like you're going through a personal situation and you got to do it. I mean, organizations got to do that, too. Sometimes it's got checks for organizations also. And, you know, right now, you know, and I mean, we get the same things out of Massachusetts. I mean, you know, stuff happens with legislative leadership when they want to get something done. I mean, they'll bend every rule, break every rule, you know, and they're pros at it. I mean, we're amateurs. I mean, we're volunteers. Right? We don't do this for a living, and you know, sometimes we get shit, you know, rubbed down our throat. I mean, we just got a bill passed in Massachusetts, an ATV bill. I mean, that is definitely anti-motorcycling, anti-recreational riders. And I mean, and it was just, you know, whipped through in 2 days.
Right.
It's crazy. Right. But now we got to backtrack and try to, you know, gain that, you know, get some ground with that.
Exactly. I mean, that's what we need to do here, you know?
Yeah. So I think everybody's got to, you know, pull together, you know, and remember what the goal is. The goal, you know, it's keeping the goal in mind. You don't want this label matchup stuff. First of all, it's bullshit legislation. Right? It's, you know, it's self-expiring. It's only good for the first year of 3,720 miles, whichever comes first. Right? It makes absolutely no sense to put a ticket on a parked motorcycle and saying that it's going to be loud, you know?
Right.
And I'd like to know what the lottery number is going to be tomorrow, too. You know?
Exactly. I know Janine's in the chat, you know, but she won't divulge the lottery numbers.
Yeah. You know, so I think, you know, everybody get together, regroup, you know, it's, you know, but, you know, let's see what the money is on this. Now it goes to the Appropriations Committee, right? What's it going to cost a state or a city or a county or a town to enforce something like this? It's absolutely crazy.
Oh,
and
we're $29 billion.
I think
we're $29 billion in debt. Where the fuck are they going to get the money from? Oh, that's right. They're gonna steal it.
Yeah. They should. Yeah. You know, like anything else, they should be concentrating on their own house and leave our house alone.
That's it. You know, yeah. It's like I was talking to Bill and his brother Michael at the shop when this first came about 3 weeks ago.
Get more than after our first.
And the first thing out of Michael's mouth after hello was, you know, Phil, tell me about this. So I showed him. I got on the computer there and I showed him everything. And he said, you know what? This is fucked. And I said, why?
Yeah.
He said, because I'm going to close down the shop. This is going to fuck us so hard, we won't be able to do nothing. So he says he's going to close down the shop, get a building, and just keep doing what he's doing with the overseas sales.
Yeah, and I mean, you've heard of globalization, like in the European standards, how the European community, and to a certain point, manufacturers, they'd like to build one bike that fits every country. And if 50 states had 50 different laws on what kind of exhaust systems or what kind of, you know, even directionals or what kind of horns, you know, manufacturers don't want to make 50 different versions of the same bike.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's crazy. You know, I have yellow and or amber and red lights on my Dyna, back lights and the amber on the front. And I'm gonna switch them to the smoked ones and change the bulbs to the different colors. And I was talking to a guy and he said, well, you know, you shouldn't really do that because the yellow sticks out when you're gonna make a turn. I said, well, it'll be a yellow bulb. He goes, put the yellow bulb in there, put the smoke lens on and see what I'm talking about. Then I found out that the new bulbs are a higher density like those halogen lights. So it's, you know, it's almost the same difference, so I'm just going to leave it alone.
Yeah, and imagine if there was 50 different states with 50 different standards telling you what kind of lights you got to have.
Exactly.
You know, and if you cross state lines, you know, you're legal in maybe your home state, but illegal in a neighboring state. I mean, there's...
In May, we had some guys ride down to Nashville from, well, you know, Chad and his dad.
Yeah.
And he bought a helmet just outside of Tennessee. And then on the way out, he threw the helmet off. You know, he took the helmet off and rode the rest of the way without a helmet, because there was no helmet law.
Yeah. I think manufacturers should be protected by the interstate transportation clause, and there should be unified standards, so that they can make bikes and sell bikes, and people can, you know, buy and sell and trade bikes, you know, state to state. I mean, it's California making this. Are trying to make this a standard is, bizarre. But, you know, some of us on the East Coast think that a lot of things in California are bizarre.
Well, yeah, I know, you know, the land of fruits and nuts, but that's another story.
Yeah.
You know.
So how's your riding season?
All year round, brother.
Yeah. Yeah, we just came back from a 4,000-mile trip where we were, you know, we met you down in Nashville and we continued on to Memphis and through Mississippi, the New Orleans, Gulf Coast, Florida. You know, met Ron and Jan in North Carolina. You know, we did the Rolling Thunder Rally, my 50th year doing it, and then hit Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is a great state to ride in. Then Intercourse, Pennsylvania, the Amish country. And
I heard about that. That was a running joke for a couple of days.
Yeah. Yeah, I had to make a lot of calls from Intercourse.
There you go.
In between.
But
Sue was a trooper and
how's she doing?
She's doing well. Miles of smiles we had. Yeah.
Good. Tell her I said hello.
I will. And anybody that can, definitely try to take 2, 3, 4 weeks off and just get on the road. Yeah,
I got a funny feeling in the next couple of weeks. I'm going to get 3 or 4 weeks off, maybe a little longer. Nobody knows. Yeah, nobody knows. We're having some trouble with a couple of contracts.
Yeah.
You're getting steel, I understand, so we don't know yet.
Yeah.
But it's like,
well,
anything else, you know, it's like when the guys went up, when everybody showed up in the Capitol, you know, there's an MC club out here, Ironworkers. And I know some of the guys in that, and they took off. A couple of guys down here rode up there, all the way up there from San Diego to Sacramento to get in on that. They left Saturday.
How many miles is that?
Probably close to 800, something like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
So people,
it's like going from the border all the way north to Oregon border.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's the test.
They drove straight through. They stopped to sleep and then got up and kept going.
And I got to tell you something. That to me, you know, certainly that's a testament of the passion of a lot of people. And you know, the state reps, the state senators, they do see it. They do see it when somebody makes that type of effort. I mean, that counts for a lot in most people's books.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's like when I started out this show, you know, I wasn't going to tell anybody my business, and it's, you know, it's been bugging me for a couple of days now, and basically I just let my ass hang out in the wind here and saying what my own situation was. I didn't divulge everything, but I stepped on my crank by not telling the whole story, and I should have told the whole story, and I kind of screwed myself, but I'm hoping that things turn around.
Well, the people that it matters to, hopefully they're listening and they take it to heart, and they know it's from your heart, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. But how's things back there? What do you got? What are you guys working on now? Anything good?
Well, we're still working on the appeal. When we had filed suit against the city of Boston, we initially got a decision that we had standing to bring the suit, and if any tickets were issued and people paid fines or contested them, and we were determined later to be right that the city ordinance conflicted with the state statute, that those people would get their money back from the city of Boston. So tomorrow, no, not tomorrow, Saturday, it'll be a year today that we had filed the suit, and no tickets have been issued to any riders in the city of Boston for this EPA label matchup ordinance that they enacted. And I think that that's good that nobody's been cited. Some reporter from New Hampshire called me yesterday, and we told him, I said, we've asked them to give us tickets. They won't give us tickets, and as soon as they issue one ticket, we can substitute that person as one of our plaintiffs and then get the issue before the court and have them hear the case on the merits rather than the technicality of none of us being harmed yet, which is why it was thrown out. And we're ready to go.
That's like this. They're out here, they're talking about now. I don't know if anybody can picture this that's listening. But you're on I-5, the 405, any freeway in California, say 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and they're zipping by at 75, 80 miles an hour, and you get pulled over. Do you think that fucking guy is gonna lay down on the side of the freeway to look at through your wheel or touch your hot pipe to see if you have an EPA sticker?
Absolutely not.
It's fucking ludicrous. They can't determine, it's a fix-it ticket is what it's going to come down to, but they can't determine the loudness or anything because they don't have a meter. So it goes back to that absurd law where they can't make a roadside determination.
Yeah, we have district court appellate decisions here in Massachusetts, one where it says, no test, no ticket. If law enforcement doesn't do a sound test, then the citation's not valid. That it's okay to alter your exhaust as long as they're still within the decibel limit, which means that they have to test them again.
Right.
We had a case where a guy had Bansenheim pipes and he was sound measured at 96 decibels. Our limit is 98 decibels with a stationary test, and the police still issued him a ticket. He had to fight it, and we won it. No test, no ticket. It's okay to alter your pipes as long as they're within the allowable decibel limits, and the sound meter shows that. You know, the AMA gave me about a $3,000 sound meter about 5 years ago, and at different events, we tell people if they want to do voluntary testing, we'll tell them what they register. You know, so.
Right.
Yeah.
And just to let you know that you got some people down there. You got some people in the chat room from Cape Cod. And one of them put up your check twice, savealife.com website.
Cool. The,
Chuck's.
Yeah,
Chuck's,
I got a.
It was Chuck's better half.
Yeah, I got a call the other day, a couple weeks ago, from a guy that he got into an accident and had some bad leg injuries, and he had gone on the website and he wanted to get one of the big 2-foot by 8-foot check twice, save a life, motorcycles are everywhere signs, but he couldn't afford it, and we just we ship it out to him. It ain't about the money, it's about getting the signs out,
Mm-hmm.
And for the $10 shipping charge, it's like I told him in a notice, my donation is hoping he gets well fast and other people don't get hit like he did.
Right. Yeah, I got clipped by a guy doing 80 as well as I was doing 80 last year, and he was drunk. So the doctor told me in the emergency room before they gave me the last shot to put me out because I was enjoying the first two shots, that if I was wearing a full face helmet, he wouldn't have been talking to me.
No, a lot of times the helmet is what kills the person, snaps the neck,
Yep.
I mean, we had a situation here probably about 5 years ago where a 19-year-old kid was riding just in a neighborhood and, was in a cul-de-sac area, and he was making the turn, and he didn't make the turn well enough, and his, front tire hit the curb, and he went over the handlebars, and, full-face helmet, snapped his neck.
Uh-huh.
Dead. Yeah. So,
hey, somebody typed into the chat that they wanted to know if a police officer can make you take your helmet off in Massachusetts.
Well, we encourage people to take the helmet off before the police officer comes out to the bike and just put it on the handlebars or hold it because the Massachusetts statute follows the 218 standard and years ago, we don't get a lot of helmet citations anymore, but years ago they would, and only 10 years ago, there was about 5 rogue state police officers that were hell-bent on issuing helmet tickets, and they were making a big deal that the helmet as it sat on somebody's head didn't cover, 2.5 inches above or 60 centimeters above from the inner ear to the, to above the ear.
Right.
So we tell people, take the helmet off and just put it on there. And the helmet is personal property. It's not part of the motorcycle. Right? And, it's just like the police can't take your watch or they can't take your wallet. They can't take your helmet.
Right.
And at every stop and every, police stop.
Well, these guys out here, tried to charge people with obstruction. The gentleman mm-hmm. I had called a couple weeks ago. He had the same problem. They handcuffed him and then ripped it off his head.
Yeah.
And
he went to court last
Wednesday for that, and he's supposed to call in. So, you might want to listen to the archive about that.
Yeah. Well, I hope I hope he keeps fighting it because realistically at a police stop, right? The police have just about all the authority, right? They can issue a ticket, they can arrest you, they can do anything you want. And you've got to fight later in court. But you have more rights in court than you really have at the scene. It's your word against him unless you got a recorder going on or something. Right? And 7 out of 10 times at least, probably even more, clerk, magistrates, and judges are going to believe law enforcement than they're going to believe a civilian. And
absolutely.
It's lousy, but it is the way it is. But, you have to make a determination at that stop, whether you're on your way on a trip or you're on your way to work or on your way home or on your way to a girlfriend's house, how much of an issue do you want to make it at that stop, right?
Exactly.
And, I mean, there's times that I've gotten stopped and, they say, where are you going? It's like none of your business.
Yeah. I tell them point A, point B.
Yeah.
Like yesterday I had jury duty yesterday. And for anybody listening, I'll tell you what I get out of jury duty. This was a good one. I had on a red and white shirt from the San Fernando Valley. It's a Hollywood shirt. On the back it says, the big red machine, the one patch you can't match. With a red and white bandana and sunglasses. Now, if you guys have seen my blog, you've seen a picture of me, and that's how I walk around 24/7.
Yeah.
Going in, and the bailiff tells me, I got to take off my boots. I sit down, I take off my boots, I throw my wallet, all that shit in the tray, and I go in. He goes, can you tell me what you're here for? And I said, yeah, I'm here for jury duty. He goes, oh, you won't be here long. They kept me there 4.5 hours. They sent me up to the room with 39 people. I was number 37.
Yeah.
I get up there, open the... Huh?
No, go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
So what I was going to... sorry to interrupt you, but I need to tell you a couple of things. I think that motorcyclists should try to serve on juries and not try to get out. This is what happens. If you get a civil case, and we now poll juries, and when we have a motorcycle accident case that we're taking to a trial, right? And, you know, besides asking, you know, the judge asking the jury, you know, do you know any of the plaintiffs or the defendants? Do you know any of the attorneys? Do you have any personal interest in this case? Stuff like that. Right? We ask the judge to ask the jury, do you have any prejudice one way or another, you know, for or against small people who ride motorcycles? And inevitably, you know, 30 hands go up. Right. And you know, a lot of times people get maimed because of other people's negligence, right? And their life gets all screwed up because somebody else wasn't paying attention, right? And then you got damn insurance companies that don't want to pay anything and you know want to make everybody fight for what they ultimately do, right? And when motorcyclists aren't on juries, it's bad because in a jury room, you know, people are saying, well, you know, those damn motorcyclists, they cut in and out of traffic or they're loud or they're this or they assume the risk because if they're in a car, they wouldn't get hurt. You know, and jury verdicts with motorcyclists are lousy. Every now and then you see somebody gets, you know, what we call in the business a good hit and a rightful verdict, right? But probably 6 out of 10 are lousy verdicts because motorcyclists or people that ride motorcycles, right, you know, aren't sitting in that jury room. On the criminal end of cases, right, I mean, we because of the business we're in, we see, you know, how some police officers exceed their authority and people's rights, right?
Yep.
And they, you know, manufacture evidence or they, you know, misconstrue evidence, right? And people, you know, lose their freedom. They get locked up.
Right.
Sheeple type people that believe the government, you know, is all beautiful, and you know, people in government want to do something like that, right? And you got people locked up in prison, right, because of bad police.
Yeah, the FBI has it. The FBI has a statute under U.S. Title Code 218, I think it is.
Yeah.
I've been dealing with the FBI on these guys here where I live, and it's under deprivation of rights under color of law.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I encourage people, you know, you get a jury notice, do it. It's a few days out of your time, all right. But if it's a situation where somebody's been maimed because of somebody else's negligence you know, it's a criminal case. I mean, make your choice as far as, you know, either, you know, listen to the evidence and weigh the evidence. I wish everybody would serve on juries rather than, you know, respectfully trying to get out of them because it's...
This time I just didn't feel like doing it, man. I had that on in my mind and running 90 different directions, and I just didn't want to be there.
You know?
I ended up staying there for 4.5 hours anyway.
Did they tell you whether it was a criminal case or a civil case?
No, I didn't make it that far. What happened was I was the 37th guy through the door. The two attorneys, the prosecutor and the defense attorney, turned around and saw me, pointed to the bailiff. The bailiff came and took my paper, wrote disqualified, and on my way I went.
Yeah, disqualified because of how you were dressed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fucked up, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But
hey, you know what we got coming up? We got the 4th of July coming up.
Right.
Imagine there's gonna be a lot of cookouts, a lot of parties, and everything. But
we're gonna have a helmetless run to Fiesta Island, and one of the guys that's been doing this for years is Red Baron out of San Diego. John Del Sano is hopefully going to make an appearance. He was having some trouble getting around. And Mark and a couple other people were coming from up north, but they had some personal issues they had to attend to this weekend. So, yeah, I'll be there. I rode around yesterday. Cool. Just to tell you a quick story, I rode around yesterday. I went to court, and then I got out, and I went down to the coast. And I thought, you know, I'm going to try something. So all I had on was a skull bandana, my glasses, my leather jacket, the hammer hanging on my saddlebag, which is it always is. And I had my helmet, my beanie helmet in my saddlebag. I rode around for almost 3 hours. Nothing happened until I stopped at a red light, and the cop pulled up next to me and wanted to know about the hammer. And I pointed at my head and said, I'd be more worried about asking me why I'm not wearing a helmet. And he just looked at me, and then he looked, and then he pulled me over, and he ran my name and stuff, and he come back, and he told me to have a nice day. I couldn't get a ticket. I tried. He wouldn't give me a ticket. He was more worried about the hammer.
Wow.
Out here in California, if you put your name on it, you make it personal, then it's a felony. But unless they change my name to Master Mechanic, there's no reason I can't carry it.
Yeah. I still think it's odd that it's a criminal offense in California, huh?
Yeah, I could walk around with an axe, no problem. You know, that's why I have that little sticker on the back of my helmet that says free all axe murderers, because it's not illegal to carry an axe. But try carrying a hammer with your name on it, you're screwed.
Odd stuff.
We got another caller. John, is that you from New Jersey? John? Me and you, Paul. Beth's supposed to call in, too. I don't know what time she was going to do it.
Yeah. The other thing is, I'd like everybody to keep in mind that 4th of July, I mean, it is about freedom.
You know? Mm-hmm.
And it's about breaking the political binds. You know, when people trample over you, and we're getting trampled over.
Right.
So, time for people to rally.
I mean,
you know,
there's
keep in
guys,
mind, you know,
guys,
do the cookouts.
Yeah, there's guys that don't even have bikes walking around town wearing a support shirt and they're getting hassled. I was with, I seen a couple of guys the other day, and then I was talking to a guy last night. Two guys were eating dinner, and the one guy was from out of state, and they interrupted him in their dinner so they could check their IDs because they had nothing better to do. And I was sitting on the corner, around the corner, and watched people run the red light. I watched six bicycles ride right through the stop sign on traffic, and they were standing on the corner and didn't say a word. But you walk around with a support shirt down in this town, and you're fucked.
Just keep track of all those things, you know, and then you gotta consider filing an action.
Oh, I already got that. All I need to do is change the cast of characters. It's already been written out. It's basically along the same lines as the one they used in San Diego. The only thing I have to do is change the cast of characters.
And you people elect the district attorneys out there, right? The county district attorneys?
Right.
Yeah. You know, that's a race that a lot of people in the motorcycle community, I don't think, at least out here, get involved in. But we have a state senator that's he files the helmet choice bill for us each session, and he's been a state senator probably about 20 years, and he's running for a county district attorney's office right now, and giving up the Senate seat, so we're losing a friend in our Senate. But the district attorneys they don't like problems. They don't like problem police officers, you know, and, we fully support that, people should write complaints and requests for investigations into, police officers' conduct if it crosses a line. And, that complaint stays in their jacket, and when they, looking for a promotion.
They hate me because I carry not a briefcase, but I carry a binder. I have everything in the binder. And I also have, when I'm down there and somebody starts complaining, I pull it out of my saddlebag and I open it up and I hand them the sheet and a pen, and I said, fill this out. I'll make a copy, and I'll get a hold of you, and I'll give it back to you, and you just give me a copy, turn this in, tell them you're gonna make three copies, one for you, one for them, and one for me. When you give them both the copies, you ask them, you'd like them to stamp and date it and give you back your copy and turn in the other one. And before you leave, you get the name and the badge number of the guy that you gave the complaint to. Because 9 times out of 10, if they think you're not going to follow up, they'll throw in the shit can.
Yeah. Now, always do it. You know, you got to document everything and follow through.
You know, it's like when all this shit started about this SB 435, you know. I had a bunch of guys. I must have had 200 people call me. Oh, man, you know, if they go back to this, I'm fucked because my bike's a 96 and I got this and that. I said, hey, man, this is what you need to do. Get on, right? And then it came out that they were going to go from the year 2000 forward. And everybody bailed on me. You know, I was dealing with the egos and the confidence again. And then as soon as they heard the free pass, they boogied. I can't get any of them people to call me back or talk to me right now. You know?
Yeah, I don't know what it is with you know, everybody's life is busy. Just a matter of what they choose to be busy with. I mean, right now you and I are busy. We're talking, right?
Right.
An hour from now I'll be busy, you know, with Sue.
Well, that's another story.
but unfortunately, until something hits some people, right, personally or in their backyard, right, they know about it, but they don't want to get involved or they don't want to invest their time. And it's not one person doing things that changes it. It's a lot of people doing a little bit. And it's like a bucket of water. You know, I mean, you know, we're all just a drip in a bucket, right? But if we've got 2,000 drips, that bucket overflows. And if we got 20,000, right? And I mean, how many registered motorcycles you got in California?
I think last count I heard it was 2.3 million.
2.3 million. I mean, that's a huge political voting block.
Exactly.
Now,
we have a guy, I put it up in the chat. His name is Doug Finley. He's out of Virginia. He just recently located here, and he's been dealing with a lot of the candidates running. And he's got a lot of great information. And if you check out my blog and you type in Doug Finley or RideTheRepeal.com and check him out, he's drumming up a lot of support for these candidates, and they're all bikers that he's getting to, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, perfect example. I mean, Spudnik from Texas, you know, God rest his soul. You know, he passed away last week. You know, I remember camping out with him. I remember... you know, seeing him at either the MRF's Meeting of the Minds or the Best of the West or the Beast of the East conferences, you know, but he took motorcyclists in Texas, right, and you know, took over the Democratic Party in Texas, you know, backed candidates that rode motorcycles, helped get them elected. Rallied, you know, riders and showed them that they are a political force. And, you know, he started it. There was a lot of people that helped him, the Texas Motorcycle Association. I mean, they've done great work. And you see it you can see the results in Texas, just like you can see the results in Pennsylvania, with the Beta Pennsylvania. I mean, super group, you know, they've had Helmet Choice now, I think, for 6 years. And when they got Helmet Choice enacted, there was going to be a 3 or 4 year study during that period. And after the 3 or 4 years, I mean, you know, there were more fatalities, but I mean, the fatalities were with helmeted riders, not the unhelmeted riders.
Right.
I mean,
we just had five, you know, God bless them, but we just had five CHP guys killed in the line of duty out here on motorcycles.
So people can do stuff. It's just a matter of doing it. It's a matter of choosing what you want to be busy with. You know, and if people can give an hour a week, that is more. You know, if you get 20,000 people giving an hour a week, I mean, that's an enormous, right? And it's a lot of times people don't know what to do, or they don't know how to do it, or they're unsure of the process. And there are people in the various organizations, whether it's AMA, MRF, ABATE, MMA, any of the political groups and organizations. There are people that will teach them, that will show them that it's nothing to be ashamed of. If you don't know who your state rep is, we'll tell you who your state rep is, and then you know, establish a personal relationship. I mean, we try to tell people, you know, we want you, you know, in this community to be the go-to person, the person that the media is going to call about motorcycle issues, the people that officials are going to call about motorcycle issues, people, the cops are going to call about motorcycle issues. You know, we want a person in each community to be the motorcycle person that communicates, you know, our message.
Right. John does that out of San Diego. Red does it. Douglas mm-hmm. is new on the scene now. He does it. And well, if anybody sends me an email, I think I posted it on the blog. But I have you can go to this site and type in your state, and it will give you name, address, phone number, fax number, cell number, whatever number you want or whatever information you need to get a hold of that legislator or senator or congressman or whoever you want to get a hold of is in there. The only problem I have right now is I'm multitasking and I don't want to lose track of thought trying to look for something. Usually when Bill's here, I look while he's talking or I talk while he looks. But I'm doing three things at once here.
Four things. You're talking too.
Four things, yeah, exactly.
And listening, and you get two hands, so you're doing four things.
Yeah, if I learned how to type with my toes, I'd be making money right now. John's on. Are you there, John? John. Well, told him I was going to bring him on, but it's I don't know, man. It's getting crazy from you know. I don't know, you know. What do we do next? You know, I always had this in my mind when the things are going to hit the fan here. You know, I talked to my broker a couple weeks ago, and he told me to buy canned goods and ammo.
I think we will survive.
Yeah. And, you know, it's. You know, I was talking to a guy today. In fact, it was Baker. And, you know, I heard a comment the other day on the news about how Bin Laden said he was going to bankrupt America.
Mm-hmm.
I think he did. Yes. I think he was part of the setup on that with 9/11 and everything. Because after that, it all went downhill. You know? So it's like, what do we do next? You know, it's the fourth quarter in 2 minutes, and, you know, it's the two-minute warning. It's going to get crazy here.
Well, you take care of your family first.
Oh, always.
And then your community of friends.
Always. When I was a kid, my mom told me as long as my mom told me as long as you can pay the rent and feed the kids, don't worry about the rest. It'll all fall into place.
Well, people often say, you know, I have basic needs. I need food, clothing, shelter, and occasional affection. Everything after that's gravy.
That's it.
And sometimes in tough times, I mean, that's what brings a lot of people back together and the families back together. And I mean, I can imagine you and I are about the same age. You know, I remember growing
up. I'm
52. Well, I'm 54. Yeah. So, I mean, I remember growing up and playing, you know, Monopoly, you know, at the kitchen table. How many people do that today?
Yeah, I mean, you know,
spending time.
It's like when I was a kid, you know, and back then we used to have the salesman come, you know. And my house, everything was conducted at the kitchen table. The front room where the TV was for special occasions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I tried that with my kids now when they were little. Forget it. And I try and have a Sunday dinner with everybody, but due to different conflicts and things going on, it's kind of went to the wayside.
Yeah. Hey, you like American history, right?
Yeah.
I rediscovered that back in the 70s, I read a series of books that was put out, and it was called a Bicentennial Series, and it was by John Jakes, and it was called the Kent Family Chronicles. And the first book was The Bastard, the second book was The Rebels, the third book was The Furies, the fourth book was The Warriors, and it's eight volumes. And it covered from before, you know, the Philip Kent came over from France as a bastard and landed in Boston. And right. It traces this family through American history, and the family is always, like, involved in a lot of the historical parts of our country. And I'm on the last volume now, but over the past 2 months, I've reread them, and I haven't read them in 30 years. And I mean, it's just if anybody likes American history, one of the things, the family mottos is, you know, take a stand and make a difference.
Absolutely. You know?
And I just have to flash back when I was reading this when I was like, you know, in my 20s, my teens actually. You know, in the 70s, and some of the things that I've, you know, kind of like done in my life and crossroads in my life, you know, making decisions to either go this way or that way, and I think that this series of books, reading them when I was a kid, you know, gave me some what I think is character and what I do now and what I've been doing the past like 30 years.
Right.
So, the Ken Family Chronicles by John Jakes. Highly recommend. If anybody likes to read and they like American history, it's good series, good books.
Uh-huh. And then let me see if John's awake. Are you awake, John? Hello, John. Are you there, John? I guess he's asleep.
Or he's in the John, maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Could be all kinds of things going on there. Never know. You might be getting some affection too. Who knows? You didn't go to bike night then tonight, huh?
What's that?
You didn't go to bike night tonight?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't go to bike night tonight. I think Betsy. That's where Betsy probably is.
Yeah, she's supposed to. Oh. She's supposed to call in, but it's getting all kinds of craziness, you know, with all this stuff. And these guys here, I mean, these cops here, the older guys are cool, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's these younger guys in their early 20s to, I'd say, early 30s that want to try and make a name for himself downtown, you know.
And well, I think also.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say. I mean, I think also it's a mentality. I mean, you and I were kids at one point where you put your chest out, you either looked for fights or looked for somewhat prove manhood or something like that. And I think that there's a certain amount of testosterone, right? But
yeah.
You know, this is not a war. You know, it's
not
us against them, but they're making it that way. You know,
exactly.
And it's like, what the hell, you know, I mean, first of all, I put my pants on the same way, you know, respectfully, you know, our taxes pay your salary and stuff. There's a need for police in our society, but, you know, I know when I personally know when a cop crosses the line with me, right? Now, you know, and I just, you know, the brain just says, no, you're not going to get away with it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll fight you in court. I'll fight you in your own department. I don't care.
Yeah, when they pull me over, the first thing they ask me is where's my phone, and I'm holding a recorder in my hand, and I tell them I took it out. I turned it on when the lights went on.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, well, what'd you do that for? Well, why are you asking where my phone is? Well, we don't want you to call in the troops. I can stand on my own. I don't need anybody here. They don't like it. I got stopped in a DUI checkpoint the other day, and. The guy asked me where I was. I said I was coming from work. He said, well, we saw you, you know, we know you were downtown for 2.5 hours, you know, at the bar. Were you drinking? And I pointed through the windshield at the sergeant that I was talking to, and I told him, ask him. He knows I don't drink. I've never been in that bar. Oh, yeah, we saw you. No, you didn't see me in that bar. I go outside. I walk down to get a cup of coffee. I talk to one guy there. On my way down, I ask him, you want a cup of coffee? I come back. We stand there. We drink our coffee. We bullshit for a little bit. I hang around maybe another half hour, 45 minutes. And I take another walk, and I get another cup of coffee. I might smoke one or two cigarettes, maybe a little of the other stuff. And then I go. I'm on my way. But I always stop to say hello to those guys. I know their families. I know their fathers. I know their brothers. I know them all. Most of them grew up with my kids.
So that's it. Like, I mean, everybody makes their own decisions what to do at a police stop or when stopped by the police. You know, I mean, my obligation is to give him my driver's license and registration. And sometimes I haven't had my registration, and I say, just run, you know, I don't have it with me, you know, run the plate. Huh? And, you know, as far as, like, any other banter or talk or answering questions, it's like, I'm not answering, you know. It's like complete shutdown, and if I get a ticket, I get a ticket, I fight it. Now, if I don't, I mean, usually I'm not being stopped for anything, so it's like I'm not going to get a ticket, you know. But if they want to give me one, they can give me one, and I can fight it, you know.
That's it. I'm trying to get
them
to give me a ticket. They won't.
Yeah.
You know,
when you get like a helmet ticket in California, does it go on your insurance rates too?
No.
Now, see, here in Massachusetts, it's a civil offense. It's a civil motor vehicle offense.
Right.
And you get a surcharge on your insurance, which, depending upon how many vehicles you have, like I got 4 vehicles insured. And probably pay about like $3,000 to $4,000 a year in insurance premiums. So if I get a surcharge for a motor vehicle infraction, my premiums will go up probably about 10%, $400, say, like for 6 years. So that ticket, that $35 or $50 ticket, right, becomes a $2,400 ticket over a 6 year period. And if I get a second one, well, let me backtrack. If I get 3 within a year period, the registrar is supposed to suspend my license for 30 days. Now,
right.
Most people's license is their livelihood. They use that license to transport themselves to and from where they work and where they make money. And they take that license away for 30 days, you get a little screwed up with your schedule. All right? So that's another reason we respectfully, if there was no insurance surcharge and we got a ticket for, you know, loud pipes or a helmet, most people would just write the check out and pay the fine. But that's what they do here.
That's how this all started with me. I walked in and Bill told me, you know, Phil, why don't you just pay the ticket? And I said, my principals don't allow me to do that. This is bullshit. That's how this all started. I wore that same helmet for 17 years, Paul. 17 years. And I seen this guy every day for 3 years. Up until a week before he gave me the ticket. In fact, it was a Friday. Tomorrow would be a year to the day, only it's the second. Last year was the first.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Hi, hey, Phil, I'm going to be getting going because I got to pay some attention to Sue.
Okay, quick
right.
question. Somebody
right.
typed in the
yeah.
chat room wanting to know how Laconia was.
Laconia was great. It only rained maybe 1 of the 2 days and only briefly. And you know, probably over 300,000 motorcyclists over the it's really like a 10-day period. And you know, Charlie St. Clair and Jennifer from Laconia Rally Week Association did a great job. You know, good vendors up there, really no problems. Bill Gannon and I and Betsy rode up one day and Red and White let us park our bikes in their space, so we didn't have to pay for parking.
Uh-huh.
And it was good. And
yeah, they're
and
good with that.
Hardly any accidents. Which, you know, when you get 300,000 bikes and cars together, it's
it gets kind of hectic. Yes.
Yeah, it does. But it was real good show. Real good. Vendors were good. The atmosphere was, it was a party atmosphere and a respectful atmosphere. No problems, no hassles, no people with attitudes. It was good.
Yeah, that's like last weekend. I was up on Big Bear Mountain, Thunder on the Mountain, and I spent the day with the Sons of Anarchy. All the guys from the show.
Cool.
It was a great time.
Yeah.
Yep. And they're all little fuckers like me too. The guy told me they take low angle shots so they look taller. But yeah, all little guys.
Yeah,
like
they got the 5 foot female actors. You know.
Yeah.
So they look bigger too. You know.
And those guys were real down to earth. We had lunch with them and everything. They were great. I got close to about 150 pictures I'm gonna put up here. I'm just gonna put them up a little bit at a time. But then I also heard that they like to when they see, you know, they go to these biker events, they pick people to be on the show just by the way they look.
Huh?
Yeah. So
well, see if you can get them on the radio one time on this.
I'm working on that right now with Charlie and the other guy, Kim Coates. I got a feeler out right now, and I sent him an email the other day, and I tried to get him on tonight because Rusty was going to be on tonight, but I didn't get a chance to. But I'll talk to him. Probably going to talk to him early next week.
Hey, and before I get off, I do want to say and reemphasize too. First of all, thank you very much for all you've done, not just this past week, all right, but rallying the riders out there getting them active and getting them involved. And again, everybody in California should be proud that there were 600 motorcyclists on a Monday at the state house. And the next hearing, you know, try to get 6,000 people there.
Absolutely, we've been on since January, and we've gone over 63,000 people on a Thursday night. So I must be doing something right.
Yeah, and so, you know, keep rallying the people, keep encouraging the people. And you'll take this law back before it becomes law.
All right, Paul. Thank you for calling in. And tell Sue I said hello.
I shall. Good night.
All right. Good night, Paul. Hello, John. Baker.
Hey, what's up, Phil?
How you doing, man?
Oh, I'm just hanging in there, brother. How are you doing?
If you heard the beginning, I'm all right. I'm getting there.
I hear you. I was just saying it's always good to hear Paul on the show, and, you know, he's so insightful with a lot of, you know, well, with a lot of stuff to say. And like I said, it's always good to hear him on there, and all the stuff you guys are doing is great.
You know, just to back up a minute. Now we all met, me, you, Chuck, LJ, Hermes, Betsy, Paul. We've all met on the internet, and then we all met in Nashville, except for Betsy. But I had a great time. Chad, his dad, you know, old boy was like what, 63, rode 800 miles in a day.
In a day, and they rode 800 miles in a day to get home, man. You know,
exactly.
And I tell you, I got a lot of respect for that, dude. I got a lot of respect.
I mean,
for
I ride
that.
With guys. We go 200 miles, and they're I got to take a piss. We got to pull over. You know, and then it's like I'll tell you a story about 10 years ago. We were riding to Vegas, you know, and there was like 25 guys and one woman, okay? I won't say who it is because I don't think she'd want me to put this out there. But what happened was we got to Vegas. Actually, Per Hump, just before Vegas. And I said, what's the matter? And she said, I don't know, I did something to my leg. Well, you know how they always tell you the seat, the pegs, and the handlebars. You got to get comfortable with that first before you start taking off on John.
Right.
The top of the rocker box burned a baseball-sized burn on her inner thigh.
Oh.
Dude, we rode for 6 hours. Did not say a word. Did not whine, nothing. The first guy who said, why are we bringing a woman with us, was the first fucker that cried he had to go pee. The whole fucking group, man. And everybody told her after this that she could go on any fucking ride she wanted to go on because she had balls.
No shit. No shit, brother.
Mm-hmm.
That's my rule, you know, when we ride, you know, like when I ride with Sonya, you know, if we're on a long run, it's like a tank of gas. You know, we don't, I just say, we're getting a full tank right now. Do what you got to do. We're not going to stop till we need another tank of gas. And, you know, my bike gets about on the highway, loaded down with gear, and, you know, the woman, I probably get 160 to 175 miles on a tank of gas.
You do better than me, brother, because I ride at 100 miles an hour, 3 feet apart.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, yeah, I don't get it because we usually, you know, we're usually hauling along 85 or 90, you know, just following standard traffic. You know, we usually don't, we don't haven't found too many folks that want to take the big trips or do a whole lot. And we haven't done a lot of big trips ourselves, you know. I mean, we're usually running, you know, 500-mile, 700-mile round-trip runs, you know. So it's not like we're doing anything like what Biker Chad and Dad Al did, man. Those guys, 800 miles in one lick. You know, because I'm not much, I don't care too much to ride at night. I don't mind in certain circumstances, you know, riding at night a whole lot. But I like to start at daylight and ride until dark. And I'll ride a little over dark if I'm almost there or getting where I want to be. But
right.
I'm not a guy that really wants to ride till midnight or some shit like that. You know, I want to pull over at night and drink a few beers and hang out and kind of chill out and get back up at daylight and do it again.
Right. And it's like, you know, when we do it out here, man, we, you know, like we're getting ready to take a Mexico trip here. And it might be, well, from here, from my front door to Cabo San Lucas, it's almost 700 miles. And we do that in a day.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good day right there. That's just perfect. I'd leave out on that, like I said, at daylight and get there, and you'd be watching the sun come down, you know, when y'all get out there.
Yeah, and it was, you know, like when we got there, she didn't say a word. She didn't say nothing. She just, she just grabbed the bag, went up to the room, and cold compress and everything. But dude, it was the size of a baseball, buddy. I was like, why the fuck did you say something? You know? Nah, I didn't want to. I didn't want these guys to give me shit. Fuck.
Hey, women
that
have
guy,
babies,
as soon
man.
As the fucking guy with a mouth
shit.
About taking a piss, I'd have said something. If
that's
I didn't know,
saying,
she
women,
didn't even...
women have babies, brother. They could put up with some pain. They
oh, I'm telling you.
Shit.
I'm telling you. My son was 10 pounds, 8 ounces. The girls were 6 and 7 pounds, but my son was 10 pounds, 8 ounces.
That's a load, man. That's huge.
I was gone for a while. But, yeah, it's
yeah.
like, what's going on in that neck of the woods, man?
Hey, we got a nice article out of Thunder Press. Thunder Press Southeast put up in the magazine here. I went and picked up a copy a few days ago, and it was hard for me to, I couldn't, the magazine's a big mag, so I couldn't, like, scan it on my scanner all on one page. I kind of had to chop it up, but it's on the website at bakersongs.com under articles, and it's about
uh-huh.
the Rock and Ride event, and they did some nice justice. They were there, and they wrote a really nice article, you know, about the event and everything that we all did, and I got some new pictures up there from all of us, you know, that were there, and you're in there, and it turned out really good, man, so... I'm kind of excited, you know. I was really happy that, you know, the article came out well, and you know, the event came out decent, and just kind of the aftermath of that. Man, the weather's freaking perfect. It feels like California right now. It's probably 69 degrees, no humidity. Finally, it's been boiling here. You know, it's been terrible, and it's just a nice night, kind of hanging out. And I should be on the bike right now, but I'm just kind of loafing. I'm being lazy.
Yeah, I got this month's issue of Quick Throttle, and on page 56, you can see my smiling mug.
All right.
I'm in a couple of pictures, and Bill's in the pictures, and then we're there with the people, and then there's also I had a shot taken of those cops I was telling you about, their motorcycle club, where they say their bylaws are so strict that, you know, they pull a lot of shit, and they just don't take anybody and all that. And I told the guy, well, you guys seem like you're the biggest gang out there, so, you know, it doesn't impress me. But I hit him up for an extra $200 during the raffle, so I was surprised they did that.
Well, I've seen that you had your stuff on there, the Vietnam Veterans Run, too, man, the memorial thing, so that was cool. Where you got, no, it wasn't that, it was the...
Veterans Run? Yeah, the pictures.
Yeah, there's some good stuff on there
up
for
on the
that,
blog.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I got some pictures for... See, the problem is, here's the deal. I work 10 hours a day. An hour each way, depending on what I'm riding or driving. Then by the time I get here, I sit down, and I got to answer anywhere from 75 to 100 emails. Then by the time my eyes start to water and whine and burn from looking at this screen all night, the chance to put up the stuff. You know, I was going to do it today when I got home early, but I had to make some phone calls. So,
you know, hey, I want to ask a question, man, about because like I was saying last week and talking to y'all, you know, I can't say I'm new to the biker rights issues and all that, because I have, you know, tried to be part of it and follow it and be educated on it, but I'm really becoming educated through your show, you know, through LJ and Hermes. You know, Hermes is another animal in itself, but your show is probably the most educating thing I've come across. You know, and I have to give a few kudos to LJ's show, but yours is right there on the top of the line for me. My question is this: what is the source of some of these laws? Like, for example, the 2011, you got to have the EPA, sticker on there, or a visible thing. What's the source of this again? Refresh my memory or re-educate me. I'm trying to understand who in the hell and why in the hell they're coming out and saying this. Why?
Well, it's just like it started in New Hampshire, okay? It started with the noise bill, okay? And some people in the ritzy neighborhood decided they didn't want their neighbors who have the $70,000 bikes that they only pull out on Sundays to ride. They didn't want to listen to the noise, you know, while they were sitting on their patio drinking their margaritas, I think is what the lady said. And she started some shit with that noiseoff.com. And then it started moving east. You know, the next thing you know, it was up in Boston. And I wish you would have called in with Pollisher, because he would have gave you the better skinny on Boston and the East Coast. But I can tell you what happened on the West Coast. There's a guy back in Boston that's on this bill as a supporter, some kind of councilman who started this shit where Paul did his interview on TV with this guy. And then it started where the EPA sent all the motorcycle manufacturing muffler companies paperwork to find out what their cost was, what their test results, how they do this test, the source and all that stuff. And then somehow this Pavley woman got a hold of it and turned it into a smog bill. So when everybody heard that they were going to go back to 1983 forward, I must have had 200 people, man, all calling me, fucking wanting to know what was going on, how can they get out of this, what can they do. And I told them what to do, and I gave them the website, and I said, make four or five phone calls a day to these people. Send them everything. But it didn't.
I remember the Boston thing, because I sent an email to the councilman up there and signed a petition, and I was like part of that. I wouldn't say I was part of anything in the sense of, but I did voice my concern and my opinion through whatever way I could do that via the internet, because I'm not in Boston. But I definitely, that was a crazy thing to find. It was like $300 and some, and, you know, if you're sitting at the bar or you're sitting anywhere, it doesn't matter where you're sitting, you know, and your bike's parked outside, and they can come up and you come outside and you have a ticket on it for, you know, a ridiculous amount of money.
Yeah, they tried that here, and then they tried to say that it was going to be $300, and then the second offense with the CHP saying they had the backing from the CHP, it was going to be a $1,000 fine, and then it got down to where it is now. I think it's $100 if you go to court, and it's $100 to $250 if you go to court, or it's a $25 fix-it ticket, which means you have to go get compliant pipes, which... the only person that's going to make out on that is the dealer, because they're the ones. Now, I got a guy that bought a brand-new bagger, and he asked the guy, are these pipes compliant? They were Screaming Eagle pipes, the slip-ons on his bagger. And the guy told him, yeah. And he said, are you sure? Yeah. I gave him the list. They weren't on the list. He went back. They gave him different pipes.
Wow. But so do you think there's any lobbyists on the inside of this? You know, from the dealer side, from the money side of that, I mean, who's making money on it? That's where you got to follow the trail. Who's making money? So,
yeah, because Harley, I understand Harley's supposed to be back in this too, but I haven't confirmed that yet, and I should have said that. But since we're talking about it and it's in a forum, I'm not saying anything wrong.
Well, I mean, in my opinion, man, of course, you know, because I ride a motorcycle and everything, but. I mean, the cars that pull up next to me with all that boom boom, that hurts my fucking ears. You know, a motorcycle kind of comes and goes. I don't even hear it. You know, I'll hear it rumble through the neighborhood, yeah, but it's going through the neighborhood. But when them cars go through, my house shakes. my car shakes if I'm in traffic next to him, you know. What is up with that? And, you know,
when I see him and they pull
that.
Up next to me like that, you know, car, I'll roll down the window and say, can you fucking hear me? And then they'll roll down the window and they'll say, what'd you say? What the fuck are you here, man? You know? Because I think 5 or 6 years ago, they had it. There's a couple of places around town that have noise ordinances after a certain hour. But if they rolled through there with that shit bumping, they confiscated their radios. They took them right out of the dash. And then that went on for about 3 months, and then that went to the wayside because I guess people started suing because they were trying to get them out, and then, you know, like mine's bolted to the firewall, so you have to tear the dashboard apart to get it out. But I had that problem outside my house with a couple of my daughter's friends. You know, I used to work second shift, so I wasn't here when it started. But then when I went to days again, it'd be 2 o'clock in the morning, they bring my daughter home, and I'm listening to the shit outside. So one of my brother-in-laws works for an ammo company in Arizona, and he gave me a couple of those cylinder fucking percussion grenades they throw through your window when the stormtroopers bust in.
Oh, yeah.
I threw one in the car. They got out with their ears bleeding, and I've never heard a fucking loud noise on my neighborhood since.
Flashbangs, right? Flashbangs at least we'd play out with, you know, when they were doing training.
Right.
I still have a scar on my arm from we would tie the string to the flashbang and we'd throw it up in the air and then pull it and yank back until it would blow up in the middle of the air because you're supposed to, they're mine simulators, you're supposed to tie the damn thing to the, you know, to a tree, so, you know, when you're doing your training and the guy trips it up and we flip those things out in the middle of the air and pull it and tie a string to it and yank it and it blow up, you know, over people's head and freak people out, and I still have a damn big scar on my arm from doing that shit and throwing it out, and I snapped the string and it came back and blew up right over the top of my ass, and, well, there you go.
Yeah. John,
hey,
are you
on my island?
Yeah, you are.
Huh. This is Art.
Art, how you doing, man?
Doing good.
What do you think about all this tonight? Baker, excuse me for a second. Baker, this is Art. Art, this is Baker.
Hey,
Baker's
Art,
in Nashville and Art is in San Diego.
Cool. I'll trade you spots, Art.
Well, if I can have a bike ride back there, I'd do it for a while.
You're fading in and out, Art.
Okay, the only thing I see out here with the boomboxes in the cars, the only advantage, they can turn those down if there's a cop in the area because they're really annoying. But you can't turn our pipes down.
Yeah, I agree with that. I understand. I hear you, Art. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. But that's the only thing. I mean, they...
Yeah, but if they don't turn it down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, they come by the house here. I can hear them out on the street, you know. And I mean, they're rattling our windows.
Right.
And I'm not seeing anything to handle that. And I'm not seeing anything about the pipes and on these little damn rice rockets that go flying by here. I mean, and I'm not even talking about the motorcycles. I'm talking about those cars that make that racket.
You're right.
And the
so when's the last time? When's the last time a bike has rode by your house and rattled your windows?
Yeah. But those pipes on those little cars, you know, they got about that 6-inch pipe coming out the back that's ridiculously
mm-hmm.
loud.
Yeah.
But yet they're not addressing any of those issues. They seem to be focusing on just one group that seems to be their target group.
Right.
And that goes back
to selective enforcement again because they figure you're just going to pay the money and not worry about it. They picked on the wrong guy because I ain't paying shit.
Well, that seems to be the biggest issue, man. I mean, I think you're looking more at the guy who's riding the motorcycle as a luxury rather than the guy who's driving his car. He's got to drive a car, and so they're thinking if you can afford to drive a motorcycle and it can afford to be loud, you can afford to pay this ticket or this fee. I think there's an economic thing, you know. I really do. I believe that's how it goes.
Well, yeah, we're $29 million in debt, so they got to get it somewhere.
Yes.
Yeah. Plus, they count on the fact that you don't want to take the time to fight it. You'll just send the money in. I mean, that's the bottom line. They don't want you to fight it. They just want the money.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, if out here in California, if we could get 50,000 bikers to ride without a helmet just for one day, we'd shut everything down.
Oh yeah.
Shut everything down.
We talked about that for years. If we could just get, you know, like you say, even a couple, you know, 15 or 20,000 guys go without a helmet and say, okay, I'll take the 2 days in jail.
Yeah.
Now you've got to feed me and take care of me for 2 days.
Exactly.
They would quit writing those because it's not worth the money then.
No. I understand that. I've been told that it's I'm more trouble than I'm worth. Just leave me alone.
Yeah, I can believe that.
Huh?
So what do we need to do to put 50,000 bikers out there doing that?
We have a biker concert 3 days a week for a couple of months.
With Attica, right?
With Attica, there you go.
And that's it.
Go ahead.
It's funny the fact that since California is, well, at least Southern California is year-round riding, probably over half the state is, but yet you can't seem to get them to unite to defend themselves. But yet the states where they can only ride for a few months a year, they seem to hold it more to their heart, and they're willing to fight for it more.
Exactly.
You know, and it also may have to do with the fact that we got all these dang liberals out here that, you know, they don't really care. They just pay the money and keep on going.
Well, that, and then you got to also, it's another issue of take it away, and then it becomes an issue. Nobody does anything as long as they're talking about it. It's just like, you know, look at the fake stuff that goes on with the unemployment issue. All the Congress ain't going to pass it. The Senate ain't going to pass it. The House ain't going to pass this unemployment bill because they're throwing all this extra stuff and it's pork, and they make it's all headlines. It's all politicized. So everybody's numb to the fact, oh, that ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. And then all of a sudden, one day you wake up and the shit hits the fan. It's in your face. And then you go, oh, shit, that really happened. Oh, wow. And that's
This started in New Hampshire, went to Boston, New York, Canada, and California now. And then there's a couple other states that it escapes me at the moment. But, yeah, it's like 12 or 14 states right now are trying to do this bullshit. But they're all watching each other to see how they're doing it. And then they're changing the wording as they go. Like those guys
that
showed up on Monday.
One place that you guys haven't heard of is Illinois, because I know for a fact in my hometown in Illinois where I'm from, that's a conundrum in my hometown where I'm from, but what I'm saying, man, is I was telling some friends, I said, I'm going to ride the bike up there, man, and visit. They're like, man, what kind of pipes you got on your bike? And I said, well, you know, I've got some Vance and Hines on there. You know, straight pipes are, you know, they're pretty loud. And it's like, well, be careful, man, because they're pulling you over for loud pipes up here constantly, just pulling you over. And as far as I know right now, there's not an ordinance. They're just flat out saying, hey, if we hear loud pipes on a Harley, we're pulling you over, period. And so that's going on, you know, in the Midwest without, you know, any laws. And I haven't seen anything, and I have the abate and the people from my area in central Illinois, you know, on my website, or not so much on my website, but I get their emails, you know, about their newsletters and stuff, and I don't see anybody bitching about it. They just say, be careful.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, so that's what you're supposed to do now. There's an issue going on, so let's be careful.
Yeah. No, I'm from Chicago, man. I loved it when I was a kid. You didn't have to ride without a helmet. That's one of the reasons I stayed in California. Well, the other reason was I was married and had three kids, but I enjoyed riding every day.
Yeah. But I mean, people just become complacent. They just accept it, you know, and they accept the rule. There's a new rule, so accept it. And they get complacent with it, and they say, okay, let's live with this rule. And then the next rule comes in, and they say, okay, here's a new rule to adapt to. Let's live with that rule. And nobody stands up and says, wait a minute, why are we getting put all this, you know, these rules upon us like this, and what's the purpose? You know, that's what's happening most of the time.
Well, yeah,
well,
and
know,
after,
like
after a few years.
Yeah, and it's like I said before, if you bend over once, you're going to bend over twice.
Yeah. Yeah, like, you know, and after a few years, all of a sudden everybody goes, well, what happened? But how come nobody stopped this?
Right.
You know, but you can't get them to step up.
Yeah, it's like, why are they doing it now? Well, where the fuck were you when they started doing it 17 years ago, you know? Now all of a sudden, because you got a ticket, you want to come out of the woodwork? But I've been involved with this the whole time.
Well, before it's over, they'll give us all 1,000 square miles in Death Valley to ride in and say, there, be as loud as you want, do whatever you want, it's all yours, you own it.
You know, when I went up to Big Bear, I swear to God, dude, every 3-4 miles was a big-ass sign that said, your speed, with two guys in a highway patrol car. I seen more cops on that Saturday than I've ever seen in my life. Up the whole mountain, all the way up and all the way down. We didn't get stopped or none, but they were all over everybody, following people, checking them out. But nobody, as far as I know, nobody got any tickets or anything. But it was just a show of force. Yeah, show of strength, I guess.
Yeah.
But you know,
where your tax dollars went. You know, here's a great example of that, you know, because I just read this on the internet. There's a show of force going on because you're going to Big Bear, so they want to show their strength. They want to run all this stuff and check everybody out, check your plates out and who you are. And then you got that poor girl out there who was held captive in the backyard of a convicted child molester's house for 18 years, and the probation officers and everybody visited and never looked in the backyard, never, you know, how could that go on? She gets a $20 million settlement now coming from the state of California, who's crippled in the economy.
Yeah.
And I say she deserves a $200 million settlement. You can't pay her enough money.
No.
You know, I'm not arguing that fact.
And she has children from this clown.
I know. So the point being here is where was the show of force or the show, you know, of everything against everyone else, you know, in the motorcycle community, especially when you're trying to ride up and go to Big Bear and do the event. But yet, something like that goes on and on and on, and they're going to settle it for $20 million. And I don't know, man. There's a mix-up of priorities, and everybody has a job, and they politicize their job to the point that it's just like I was saying earlier about the unemployment issues and all that. They politicize it to the point that everybody's numb because the politics are so insane. People don't believe it.
Fucked up,
don't
not
believe
insane.
It until it hits them in the face.
Yeah. Yeah, then it's why me? Why are you bothering me?
Yep.
And I mean, over the years, I've had my share of run-ins with these guys. You know, it's just the past couple of years. I mean, they had a guy, he was a sergeant, he was with this woman, and she was buying him all these gifts, big screen TVs, helped him set up a stereo or a studio in his, recording studio in his house and all this shit, and she got caught. She was taking the money, she was using the credit cards and the checks from the construction company to buy this shit for him, and he tried to say he didn't know, he thought it was all gifts. That fucker knew. He got 8 years last week. And then, you know, we had that fucking CHP guy who decided that because the woman looked good in the car, you know, he called me and we'll fix your ticket, you know, and he was trying to get sex for, well, he got convicted of it, but he was trading sex for dismissing the tickets. Where he'd go to court and say, you know, I wasn't properly subpoenaed for this, so you're going to have to dismiss it. And then the dumb fucker didn't know that they had 4 guys follow him to the hotel. And when he left an hour later, they walked up and knocked at the door, and she was still partially closed when she opened the door and spilled the beans on everything. But it's crazy. I mean, they do it. Nobody says shit, you know. Fucking three bikers get stabbed or killed, and it's front page news. 12 Marines get fucking die in Iraq tonight, and it'll be on page 7 or 8 tomorrow. That's how fucked up we are with our media.
Yeah, they're not paying attention to any of that, man. This is like, I don't know how to, you know, we all know that's the biggest mess there is going on right there. It's just insanity. They
not in one
about
place, but two
anymore.
Places. And then they're thinking about starting another one somewhere else.
I know it.
You know,
all right, look, fellas, man, I got to roll. I got to roll back here in Nashville. I got the woman's pulling a beautiful pizza out of the oven, and I'm going to chow down on that and visit with the family a bit before everybody's got to go to bed.
All right, man. Tell her I said hello.
I got you on. I got you on. I got you on the air, though, so we're listening. So.
Okay, well, hello,
nice
Sonia. How are you?
Sonia, Phyllis asking, how you doing? Say hello.
Missing you.
Did you hear that?
No, I didn't.
Here, hold on.
Missing you.
Missing me? Hey, I told you, get the suitcase. FedEx, you'll be here tomorrow.
Okay, I'm going to do it.
We're going down to Cabo, I think, this weekend or next weekend. Next weekend I got a Hell's Angels party up in at the Angels Roadhouse where Sonny's going to be signing his books. But I think we're going to go this weekend. Tomorrow after work I'm going to go. We'll get down there about 1 or 2 in the morning tomorrow night. But we'll be there for a weekend, and then I'm coming back, and then we're going to go back down there for another 2 weeks from now for another week.
Well, hopefully we'll get out there sometime this year and be able to go down with you guys. It sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, and don't worry about riding a bike. I'll hook you up. All you do is show up. Everything's carte blanche. I will take care of you. You'll be on the beach with your feet in the sand and drinking margaritas.
Oh,
be just like
just
that Corona
too
commercial.
Good. Sounds too good.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
You take care. All right, bye.
Hey, brother, nice to meet you, Art. I'll trade you places anytime for a week.
Okay.
come on and swap out, man. Swap houses. Come to Nashville, and I'll head to San Diego.
Oh, I got a sister back there in Indiana, so I always got that to go to, too.
Cool, man. It's a great, we'll have to make that trip sometime. Hope to see you sometime and meet you, brother. Y'all ride safe and be careful, and I appreciate it, Philip, brother. And I'll catch you later. We'll send our love. Leah sends her love, too.
All right, man. Take care.
All right. Catch you later. Bye.
Bye-bye. So, Art, you got any burning desires?
Not really. I know you've been talking about this SB that just came out of committee.
Right.
And I think the fact that they got 600 people, I hadn't heard that.
Yeah. You can You can go on the – I have the – the council, I have the whole thing. I have the web link to it where you can watch it if you want. I just have to.
Okay, that's
out
on
here
your
now.
Blog?
I think it is on the blog, yes.
Okay,
I'll
keep
about,
your blog up here.
Yeah, I was talking about fishing out of my email, but yeah, it's on the blog. It's underneath that heading where the EPA is. And then the two that are back to back from yesterday, it's in there.
Yeah.
And then I heard that. The only one, that I feel bad for out of this is Bub, because they never gave, they were made the bad guy, and they really didn't do anything. They sent I guess, they got picked or something with this EPA bullshit they sent out, and Pavley decided to say that, yeah, they were for it when they weren't, even though they are the only ones making compliant pipes right now.
Right. Yeah, but she was like Floyd was when it came to the helmets. She starts... He would just spit facts out of the air,
right?
Cite them from organizations, but yet when the organizations heard about it, they went, "Wait, we never said that,"
Right.
And it sounds like Peavy is doing the same thing in the fact that she is saying, she's got all this support, but yet she's not talking to the people. But if there's nobody there to argue, then it's assumed it's right.
Yeah, and the bad part is that she's using all these people's shit without permission. It's like this, Art. If I send you a letter, okay, and I put on there, information, and tomorrow, or you send me a letter, okay, you send me an email. Tomorrow I put it up on the blog, and you call me back and say, "Phil, I didn't give you that to put up on the blog. Why did you do that?" Well, fuck, you sent it to me. You didn't say, "For your eyes only, do not publish." So anything I get off the wire, I usually try and check it out, but people I know that have been sending me stuff, sometimes I'll call them, sometimes I won't, because it'll say on there I can use it, or it'll say I can't use it. Like the other day, I got an email from LJ where I used that United We Ride, Divided We Walk, and I thought I put him up there to give him credit for it, and I didn't, and I apologized, and I changed it. And some of the ones that are out there now still have the old one, but I'm going to – the new ones that will come out from now on will give LJ credit for that saying, "United we ride, divided we walk." And I apologize for doing that. I should have checked with him first, but it was sent to me, so I used it.
Yeah, and it's not like you were doing it disrespectfully or maliciously.
No. And that's where people get the wrong understanding, because if you send it to me and you don't say that and you don't want anybody to know what you just said, then don't send it. Because if you can't print it and stand up for what you wrote, then you shouldn't have wrote it in the first place and sent it out.
That's true.
You know, I had I don't know if you read, if I send you that email, the one about where I said with the egos, and that was in tune to the people that had called me about 1983 and beyond for that smog issue when it first hit the street. And they all bailed. But the point being that they talked the walk, but they won't walk the walk once they found out that it was 2000 and beyond. And then the people that were 2000 and beyond right now were all whining to me too. What can I do? What do I got to do? I know when I buy a new bike and I put different, my bike has a Thunder, and both my bikes have Thunder headers on them. And I took the pipes, I went back, I had them, put them back in the box, and I went back and picked them up, and they're in my Rafter. Because I heard about this when I bought that bike. And there's no way, you know,
but
there's
know,
no way
they,
I'm going to.
When they
I'm
came
gonna,
out.
I'm sorry?
I was going to say, when they came out and they said, well, they changed it to 11 and beyond, I had a lot of people at me going, well, what are you guys going to do? You know, it's like, we're still fighting. You got to keep fighting, because once they pass it, they can always amend it.
Right. The fight's not over yet. That's what people don't understand. They think because of this shit that happened with the 8 votes, the 8 for and the 4 against, that it's over. It's not over. It still has to go to appropriations. It still has to go to the committee. It still has to go through the system. So we still have time. We still have time. And we still have time to write letters and make phone calls to these people and show them that we're not going to take it.
Yeah. And we're going to have to. Because if we don't stand up now, it's just going to keep on growing on us.
Exactly. And you know, it's I mean, you know, you've seen me. Yeah, I met you in person, and we've talked. And I don't come across as I know everything. I don't come across as Billy Badass. I'm just me. That's me 24/7. I'm not here just to help me. I'm here to help you and everybody else that needs help. Not just to sit here and toot my own horn. I'm here to help everybody. And that's what I try and do. And some people just don't understand that.
Yeah.
You know, I've had people call me and tell me how my show should be this way and my show should be that way. And then I tell them, all right, why don't you come on? I extend the invitation to everybody. It's right on there. If you have a burning desire or you want to participate in the show, send me an email. We'll go from wherever you want to go. We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. But don't sit on the sidelines and say, well, I want you to do it this way or you need to do it that way without putting any input in. That's bullshit.
Yeah, but that's what most of the people want to do.
Yeah, it's not right. You know, and like right now, I sound like I'm beating a dead horse, but not really, because the more people that hear it, the more people are going to think about it and say, you know, that fucking guy's right. How long am I going to take this shit?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
What do you got going for the weekend? Are you going to San Diego?
Yeah, I'm going to go be down on Fiesta Island on the 4th.
Me too.
And
I'm riding.
If I don't
get this other thing I had going, if it doesn't materialize by 4 o'clock tomorrow, I will be there. I will be riding down from my house to Fiesta Island without a helmet. I want to see how far I can get. I want to see how far I can get down the coast.
Yeah. We usually have my brother and myself. We both go down and see what's going on down there and ride with that one. But it's early enough in the day. I have to go to work in the afternoon, but I can still make that run.
Uh-huh.
You know, and
is your
have
brother
some
gonna,
fun.
Your brother's going to ride out down from here?
Yeah, he's going to be coming down from Oceanside.
Okay. Give him my number. Have him give me a call. We can ride down with me
I'll
and a couple
that.
Other guys. The guys that told me they're going to go, and then when I told them I was riding without a helmet, they all said, "Yeah, I'm not going to do that either." I want to see how many guys just put their fucking balls in their hand Sunday.
Okay.
You know.
I'll let them know.
Yeah, let them know. Tell them, give them my number. Tell them give me a call. We'll arrange something. Because I'm really
okay.
I'm really thinking about doing that.
Okay, sounds good. I'll definitely make that happen.
Okay.
But other than that, it's just been kind of quiet. It's, you know, there's been a lot of things going on. It seems like a lot of clubs are flooding the market with runs every weekend.
Yeah.
It seems like everybody wants our money.
Right. Well, you know, it's like I've been promoting here and there, and I apologize to those guys, but the Sin City crew is on their PayPal, on their Hells Angels Sin City, they're looking for donations for the defense fund. They're not going to try, they're trying not to sell all their support gear until they get to Sturgis, but I'll put that up on my blog again, and you can check it out. But those guys really need some help. And then, like I said earlier, next Sunday, the 11th, is the Purdue Run, the annual summer bash at the Angels Roadhouse, and I'll have that up on the blog as also.
Okay, that's up off the 10, right?
Pardon me?
Or the 40? That's up off the 40?
Yeah, in Yucaipa.
Yeah.
It's up there on Dunlap Boulevard in Yucaipa. And, Sonny will be there signing his books, and then we'll see the other people there. And the other thing, I don't know what happened, but Rusty might have had something come up, but he was going to call in tonight because Attica is going to play at I wrote it on the, I put it up in the blog at the beginning and I forgot. But they're going to play at the Key Club on the 5th with Steel Panther. And John from New Jersey was talking about Steel Panther. He heard him on a radio show. He said they're great. So
okay. We'll
see what happens with that. But if you want to go on, you got to work next Sunday? Not this Sunday, but a week from Sunday?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I work just about every Sunday.
Oh, okay. Not me. I used to work 7 days a week. I just decided my body can't take it no more. You know how it is pounding steel all day.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Running around on steel deck plates and all that, yeah, that'll definitely wear you out.
That 782-foot ship with 12 decks running up and down all that. All
yeah. Do you have to rig your own welding cables?
Oh, no. I'm a foreman, so I basically babysit and help the guys when I have to, but I do every once in a while, though. I do every once in a while.
Okay.
I did it three days last week to keep up my certs on some copper nickel and some stainless and a little core wire. But, yeah, I do it from time to time just to keep up my certs.
Definitely. It costs too much to get recertified and start from scratch.
Well, that too, and then, you know, when you lose your certs, you go back to school. The company will put, they send you back to school, or you go on your own time. If it's your fault, you go on your own time. If it's their fault, they pay you to go. But, I had that happen a couple years ago when I got hurt. I went back, and this last year, I went down and I kept all my certs up to date. Because I can weld with either hand, so I'm right-handed naturally, but I welded left-handed and recertified all my certs, so I didn't lose them. You got 90 every 90 days. You got to upgrade them. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So,
well, it is
an
art. You have to keep your hand at it.
That's true. That's true. I mean, for 36 years, my eyes are a little bad, but other than that, I pretty much know what I'm doing. At least I fake it pretty good. But other than that, nothing else. Like I said, thank you for calling in. Have your brother, give me a ring, and we'll see if we can arrange something, and we'll meet you down there Sunday.
Okay, sounds good. Sounds good.
All right, I'm gonna play one of Attica's songs here, and I think this is an appropriate song. It's called War. So if you want to stick around and listen, there's some pretty good guys, and you can see them on MySpace, Attica Freak Show. I'm waiting for somebody else to call in, but in the meantime, I'm going to... And I'm going to play this other song. It's by Biker Joe Warren, and I dedicate this to the ATF, the DEA, and the Biker Task Force.
In the grocery store, all the kids look at me like they thought I was Santa Claus. And their mamas don't like it, so they turn the shopping carts around. Mama shoots me a dirty look. She thinks I'm just a greasy rebel without a cause. But it's fear that mostly makes them people put us down. But I like to ride big motorcycles, and I like to eat pussy too. I like to kick the shit out of punkers and faggots, and if you don't like it, fuck you. That's right, I like to ride big motorcycles, and I like to eat pussy too. And I like to kick the shit out of punkers and faggots, and if you don't like it, fuck you. In the restaurant, the maitre d' gets nervous cause I ain't got on a tie. But who'd ever thought a hairy ass biker would drink French wine? I just finish off the steak and I have a glass of brandy and a slice of apple pie. Then I leave the biggest tip that the waiter's seen all night. Still, I like to ride big motorcycles, and I like to eat pussy too. And I like to kick the shit out of punkers and faggots, and if you don't like it, fuck you. Bother me none if the public thinks we're the scourge of society. I know a lot of little poor kids that don't see things your way. Cause on Christmas Day, they got a full belly and a teddy bear under the tree. They know Santa wears leather and he rides a two-wheel sleigh. Still, I like to ride big motorcycles, and I love the little children's too. Your opinion of me don't amount to shit if you don't like it. Fuck you. You heard me. That's right. I like to ride big motorcycles, and I like to eat pussy too. Sing. And I like to kick the shit out of punkers and faggots, and if you don't like it. Oh, y'all sing along this time now. And I like to ride big motorcycles, and I like to eat pussy too. I like to empty my 44 and boy George, and if he don't like it, fuck him too. Yeah, I'm sure boy George will appreciate that one.
You still there, Art?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I'm still here.
What do you think of Attica? I know it's a little hard, but it's they're more of a Black Sabbath, AC/DC, stuff like that, hard rock stuff. But they're
I
pretty
could
good
listen
live.
To them.
Pardon me?
I said I could listen to them. That was the first time I'd actually sat down. I started looking them up. Let me kick up some of their music and see what they're putting out. Boyd probably likes that. It's a fan of stuff, I think. More stuff.
Uh-huh. You're fading on me, buddy.
Okay, it's probably this damn headset. I'm going to have to get a new one.
Uh-huh. I'm gonna throw on one more Attica song. It's called Into the Blackness, and then I'm going to say goodnight. So if you want to listen to this one, then I appreciate you calling in, and every brother, ring me up.
All right, will do. You take care, man.
All right, you too, man. Bye.
Yeah, bye.
are my favorite. Good night, everybody.